Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Morning Reload. From very high above, all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Monday. The Super Bowl is over, and I don't know what you Chiefs fans are celebrating about, because now we're going to have to put up with an entire year of Taylor Swift and how her flight on a private jet all the way from Japan helped that whiny crybaby Patrick Mahomes win another Super Bowl. I heard on the radio coming down to the middle swamp that a nosebleed seat in Las Vegas would run you about $2,800, if you could even find one. Ridiculous. And almost as idiotic as listening to Michael Perlman, the governor's communications director, talk about wages in the state of Wyoming. To the cow pie, in a beauty of a Trotsky article entitled, Gordon Says Freedom Caucus Criticism of Him is, quote, misleading and, quote, vague. I'm sure the governor said that, because he doesn't really want you to know what the actual numbers are. The truth is that government workers in Wyoming make far and above what their private sector counterparts do. Remember how I'm always telling you to do your own research and don't believe a word that comes out of my mouth? Read it for yourself so that you know exactly what the arguments are. You remember all of that? Well, Trotsky should follow my advice, too. Instead of listening to Gordon's political hack, the truth is, all Trotsky would have had to do is call the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services to find out that what the Freedom Caucus is saying about the governor's budget is absolutely accurate. It's not misleading, and it's not vague. Nope, it's right on the money. Before I tell you exactly how wrong Trotsky is in his article, we should probably look at how the governor described his own absolutely inflated and bloated budget. According to the governor, his budget is disciplined, prudent, realistic, practical, living within our means, businesslike, balanced, sustainable, forward-thinking, fiscally conservative, meets the needs of the future, and rejects the indulgence of responding to immediate wants. If all of those remind you of some red-coated politician standing on your front porch telling you how conservative he is, you'd be right. The truth is, the governor's budget is none of those things, and the numbers bear it out. Let's first talk about wages. Now, while I'm going through all of this, you should ask yourself, have your wages gone up 30% in the last couple of years? Have they gone up anywhere close to that amount, or are you among the privileged few that gets a 1 or 2% raise every year? Well, if you are one of those people, you should quit your job immediately and go take a job with the state of Wyoming, because their wages have gone up way more than yours have. It's also worth pointing out that the idea behind a government job used to be that of civil service. Nobody ever went to work for the government to get rich. If you wanted to make a lot of money, you'd perfect your craft in the private sector for a couple of reasons. Because private businesses don't operate on the taxpayer's dime. And second, because they're making money, they used to be able to pay you way more than the government could. But now it would seem that the tables have turned. Because the government operates on the taxpayer dime, well, they can pay people just as much as they absolutely want. How often have you heard this canard, that we're short of snowplow drivers, and one of the reasons why we can't keep them is we're not paying them enough? Wages of YDOT employees just haven't kept pace with the private sector. All of that is bullcrap. A big steaming pile of it. At the risk of burying the lead in my own story, here's a couple of statistics that you might find interesting. that according to the state of Wyoming Department of Workforce Services, the median household income in Wyoming has decreased 2.6% from 2019. That's the year that Governor Gordon took office, through 2022. It's gone from $74,410 to $72,495. Oh, and before I go too far into this, also ask yourself, if any of the sources I'm mentioning show up in Trotsky's article, did Trotsky call the various Wyoming agencies that would be able to give him data that could verify or disprove whatever political hack Michael Perlman has to say? No, he didn't. Because if he did, he would have written an entirely different article disproving everything Governor Gordon and his mouthpiece have told Wyoming citizens. And of course, we all have to ask one more question before we go any further. How much did the Wyoming caucus pay Leo Wolfson to write this dumpster fire of an article? Because after all, the Cowboy State Daily, the Cowpie, is partners with the Wyoming caucus. And of course, the Wyoming caucus is a group of left-leaning politicians that just so happen to have the majority in the House of Representatives and probably in the Senate, too. All you have to do to prove that one is go look at the bottom of the Cowpie's website. But I digress. So where was I? Oh, yeah. I was enlightening you on a couple of statistics that you might find interesting about the economy in Wyoming. According to the State of Wyoming Economic Analysis Division, Wyoming private sector real GDP decreased from $33 billion to $31 billion. That's 6%. Meanwhile, Wyoming state and local government real GDP only decreased 3%, a difference of 3%. So in other words, the GDP of the private sector in Wyoming has gone down at a faster rate than it has for government. Go figure. Why would we want government to lose more money than the private sector? Honestly. Despite what many government officials will tell you, mining is not the number one industry in Wyoming. Take a wild guess what is. It's government. Government is the number one industry in the Cowboy State, making up 16.4% of our total GDP. That's larger than mining. Also, government is the number one employer in our state. 24% of all jobs in Wyoming are government jobs. 65,000 out of 272,000. In our state, there are over 800 state employees for every 10,000 citizens. The state of Alaska is the only one that has a higher ratio than we do. Since 2017, the education budget in Wyoming has gone up 81%. It's gone from $886 million a year to $1.6 billion a year. So do you think that the cost of education has gone up 81% in that amount of time? Yeah, I don't think so. But here's the kicker. Also, since 2017, enrollment in Wyoming schools has gone down. So how is it that you have fewer students to teach, and yet the price tag is double? All of that just sounds, well, how did the governor put it? Oh yeah, realistic and practical and living within our means and business-like, balanced, sustainable, forward-thinking, and fiscally conservative. Yeah, right. If all of that wasn't enough to make the top of your head come off, let's talk about wages. In 2022, the average wage for a private sector employee was $55,854. You know what it was for a state employee? $62,355. Well, in 2023, a private sector employee's wages went up to $56,945. That's an increase of 1.95%. That's that 2% raise that all of you probably got, if you were lucky. For state employees, it went from $62,000 to $68,000. That's a difference of 9.92%. So you got a 10% raise if you work for the government, but if you work for one of these private sector schmoes, you were lucky if you got a 2% raise. That seems awfully fair, doesn't it? But remember, these poor government workers, they're just not making enough money. You're going to love this next part. State of Wyoming public sector employees make 17.9% more than their private sector counterparts, $68,000 versus $56,000. And, according to the State of Wyoming's Administration and Information Department, Wyoming public sector employees have group insurance plans, so health, dental, life insurance, that averages a cost of $25,000 a year. According to our state auditor, Christy Racinas, state employees received 15 to 27% of their salaries in contributions to their pensions. Do you have a pension that your employer is contributing 27% to? No, you probably don't. Most private sector companies don't contribute any more than 4 to 5% to their employees' 401k plans. In all three of these compensation categories, state employees are compensated much more generously than their private sector counterparts. As a matter of fact, when you do the math, the first $17,307 that a private sector employee earns actually has to go to paying the wages for the 63,251 public sector employees. The first $17,000 that you make go to paying the salaries for Wyoming's public employees. But if you listen to Trotsky at the Cowpie, he'll tell you, quote, "The average median monthly income in Wyoming for the first quarter of 2024, according to the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services, was $4,961. In the first quarter of 2020, shortly prior to the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, the median monthly salary was $4,038, representing a growth rate of 18.7% over nearly 3 years. According to data from Wyoming Administration and Information, state employee wages have grown at a nearly identical rate during that same time period." End quote. First, Trotsky's numbers don't take into account the rapid increase in state employee wages that's happened in the last year or 2 years. That is, 10% versus 2%. Second, Trotsky doesn't take into account, from the very beginning of his three-year numbers, state employees already made more than their private sector counterparts, which you can't tell me that the quality of state employee work has gone up that much to warrant such a rapid increase in wages and to be paid more than anybody else doing the same job in the private sector. Third, you have to take into consideration all the other compensation that state employees get that nobody in the private sector does. That is, a 27% contribution to their pension, or grand total of benefits of $25,000 a year. And did you notice who Trotsky quoted to get his wage increase numbers? Let me read it to you. Quote, "According to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, wages in the U.S. increased 6.7% in December of 2023 from the same month the previous year. Wage growth in America has averaged 6.1% annual growth from 1960 until 2023. Quote, we're right in line or behind the average for Americans, Perlman said. 6.7% year over year, says the United States government, when of course Trotsky could have just called the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services and got a little bit more accurate numbers. Private sector wage growth year over year from 2022 to 2023 in Wyoming was 1.95%. For state employees, it was an increase of 9.92% in 1 year. One more piece from Trotsky's dumpster fire. Quote, the Freedom Caucus op-ed also mentions how Gordon's proposal contains a $166 million increase in personnel costs for 6,900 state employees. By the way, if you do the math on that, that's a $12,000 pay bump for each state employee. Now, one more question for you. When's the last time you got a $12,000 a year raise for not doing any more work or doing any higher quality of work? 12,000 smackers for doing the exact same thing that you were doing last year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't sound very, well, how did the governor put it again? Oh, yeah, I remember. Practical, businesslike, sustainable, or fiscally conservative. There's plenty more where that came from, and I'll tell you all about it after a brief but completely obnoxious profit timeout. Morning Reload is brought to you by the Buffalo Wool Company. They are the purveyors of the warmest socks that I've ever put on my feet. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but it's February, and in Wyoming, what happens in February is super cold temperatures, and you definitely want to make sure that you take care of those feet of yours. The best socks that you can put on those little toes are made by the Buffalo Wool Company. Go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Morning Reload is also brought to you by Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. Whether it's a barn or a garage or a roping arena, or maybe you need a big giant warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. The following advertisement has been paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate. And now, back to the program. Actually, come to think about it, there is one more part of Trotsky's article that I just can't resist telling you about. Listen to this. Quote, "The op-ed," that would be the Freedom Caucus's op-ed, "also accuses the governor of devoting $38 million to affordable housing. This is in reference to the $38 million Gordon dedicates to the Wyoming Business Council for its Business Ready Community Grant and Loan Program. This program can be used for publicly run affordable housing, but also can entail financing for any kind of publicly owned infrastructure deemed to serve the needs of businesses and promote economic development in a community." End quote. First, as I explained in a recent episode, it is absolutely impossible for the government to create economic development, because all the money it's spending on said economic development is recycling tax dollars. So it doesn't produce anything more. There's no new economic activity generated by those funds, because the economic activity that generated those tax dollars has already generated them. There's nothing new being created. And thus, no new economic development. But that's not the best part of the Wyoming Business Council. Those shysters have taken Wyoming citizens for a truckload of money and really haven't returned anything back to them. From fiscal year 2015 to fiscal year 2024, the state of Wyoming has dumped in excess of $370 million into the Wyoming Business Council. In return for that $370 million investment in taxpayer dollars, real GDP in Wyoming has decreased $2.4 billion. In fiscal year 2015, Wyoming generated $34.8 billion. And in fiscal year 2024, we only cranked out $32.4 billion. Let me put this another way for you. If a company spent $370 million across 10 years on the group who claims responsibility for driving economic growth in Wyoming, and that company saw its annual income, measured by private sector GDP, go down $2.4 billion per year, that group would be fired. Governor Mark Gordon is asking for another $107 million in the next biennium for the Wyoming Business Council, above and beyond the $370 million that we've already dumped into them that resulted in a loss of our GDP. Sure sounds frugal, prudent, business-like, forward-thinking, and sustainable to me. Only a redcoat would be dumb enough to claim that spending nearly a half a billion dollars on a group that oversees a reduction in real GDP of $2.4 billion to be prudent or sustainable or whatever other bullcrap words he used. Given everything that I just told you, you wouldn't think that our state's capital could get any more swampy than that. But you'd be wrong. Enter Brenda Hansen, the director of the Wyoming Department of Revenue, the person that was in charge of training the Wyoming County Assessors Association. Yeah, the lobbying group that the Department of Revenue trained on House Bill 45. Anytime you hear the word association, that doesn't mean government. An association is a private group. Now, I'm not saying that that private group isn't funded by your tax dollars. There are plenty of associations that their members' dues have been paid by the taxpayer. The National Association of Attorneys General, the NAGS, for instance. Every year, the Wyoming taxpayer pays $75,000 so that our Attorney General, Bridget Hill, can be part of the NAGS. I'm not even joking. That's what the initials of their group spell out, the NAGS. But anyway, on January 3rd, 2024, Ken Guile, an administrator for the Property Tax Division of the Wyoming Department of Revenue, delivered a virtual training to the Wyoming County Assessors Association specifically on how to implement House Bill 45. There's just a couple of eensy-weensy little problems with that. House Bill 45 hasn't even been heard on the floor of the Wyoming legislature. It hasn't been passed. And yet, the Wyoming Department of Revenue is using your tax dollars to train the Assessors Association. That's absolutely right. I told you about all of this back on January 31st. After that cowboy state politics breaking news story, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus wrote a letter to the director of the Wyoming Department of Revenue, Brenda Hansen, asking her to explain herself. Representatives John Baer and Rachel Rodriguez-Williams didn't include anybody else in Wyoming government in their letter. It was written specifically to Brenda Hansen. Their letter, and I quote, "Your office has chosen to promulgate rules on state statutes that have not been passed. We have seen and read the PowerPoint presentation that your deputy, Ken Guile, presented to the Assessors Association as training to teach them how to implement House Bill 45 into the CAMA system. We are aware that from this presentation you have already performed queries in this system to support the passage of this bill. Furthermore, your presentation admits that county assessors have the authority to decide if exemptions are appropriate or not on certain property types. You all know that this could be implemented 23 different ways, and the people of Wyoming will be the ones that suffer from the lack of uniformity and equality across the state. We demand an explanation for your actions. We want to know, besides Representative Barry Crago and Representative Steve Harshman, which legislators worked with the Department of Revenue for the implementation of House Bill 45 without it ever being enacted." End quote. The letter goes on for one more paragraph, but I think you get the point. "Dear Brenda Hansen, please explain why you're spending taxpayer money on something that hasn't even been introduced into the legislature yet, and specifically, why you're showing county assessors exactly how to implement the bill." What their letter does miss, however, is it's the County Assessors Association that will be testifying on House Bill 45 should it reach a committee. They'll be the ones that are telling the committee members, "Oh no, this thing will be perfect to implement. We don't see any problems with it at all." Do you get the problem? A slight conflict of interest? But like I said, all of that is old news. On the same day, Brenda Hansen, director of the Wyoming Department of Revenue, responded to the letter. She said, and I quote, "The concept Representative Crago and Harshman presented was to provide an exemption that could be implemented for the 2024 tax year. We discussed the tax calendar that requires county assessors to mail assessment schedules no later than the fourth Monday in April. Due to this rapid timeline, both legislators asked that I reach out to county assessors for input. To ensure we considered all aspects, we met with county assessors virtually to include demonstrating how the CAMA system was capable of performing queries of data, applying for an exemption and reporting functionality. After doing so, we asked all county assessors for feedback. I'm sure you'll agree that due diligence in the form of communication is of the utmost importance. This benefits all, but particularly the taxpayers of our state. These discussions help to ensure there are no unintended consequences. End quote. So basically, Brenda Hansen is absolutely admitting that they absolutely provided training to the County Assessors Association. After all, 27 pages worth of a presentation is a little bit more than a discussion. And it's probably a little bit more than just asking for feedback. In the presentation, there are screenshots of the CAMA system. There are equations so that assessors can figure out how to implement House Bill 45. It goes far beyond just a discussion of possible impacts a bill could have. Furthermore, Director Hansen took the time to correct what she calls misstatements. The first one is laughable. This agency does not lobby. We serve as an information source. End quote. If the Department of Revenue doesn't lobby, why were they spending taxpayer dollars putting together a presentation to be given to a lobbying organization, i.e., the County Assessors Association? Here's another one that is equally as ridiculous as her first point. Quote, "We have not begun the rule promulgation process. We asked assessors where terminology may need clarification for uniform administration of proposed legislation." Let me just see if I have this correct. A Wyoming department asked a lobbying organization to give input in crafting red coat legislation. So they spent taxpayer money to coordinate with a lobbying organization before that legislation had even been introduced into the House of Representatives. If you'll notice, and by the way, this letter is posted at cowboyestatepolitics.com, Brenda Hansen doesn't reference any statutes that gives her department that authority, nor does she reference any statutes that says that this is entirely ethical, because it's not. The truth is, my friends, that a bunch of bureaucrats in the Department of Revenue used your money to coordinate with a lobbyist organization, the very lobbying group that's going to be talking in committee on this very bill. How do you think that's going to work out for you? I'm sure that that lobbying organization is going to be working solely for the benefit of Wyoming citizens. If you believe that one, I've got some beachfront property over around Burlington that you'd definitely be interested in. True to what is apparently one of their missions, the Cowpie came swiftly to Brenda Hansen's defense, and I quote, "Crago's sweeping bill establishes a property tax exemption for a single-family residential structures based on their prior year's assessed value and forbids tax growth from the prior year to exceed 5%, serving the same function as a cap. House Bill 45 has been endorsed by the Wyoming Caucus, of which Crago is a member." Oh, by the way, I wonder how much money Leo Wolfson was paid to write this article on behalf of the Freedom Caucus. But I digress again. Continuing. "One of the most significant aspects of the bill is that if signed by Governor Mark Gordon, it would go into effect immediately for the 2024 tax year. This would require county assessors to mail tax assessment schedules no later than April 22nd. At the earliest, Gordon likely couldn't sign House Bill 45 into law until late February. The short window between then and April 22nd is what led the lawmakers to reach out," Hansen and Crago said, "and her department to reach out to the assessors for input and verify internally whether acting on the bill would be possible." Oh, I get it. So basically, they're doing Barry Crago's job for him, figuring out if the legislation that he wrote is even possible with existing statute. And they went one step further in coordinating with the County Assessors Association, the ones that will be advocating on behalf of Barry Crago's House Bill 45. And then Trotsky makes yet another very interesting comment. Let me read this one to you. Quote, Although he was already considering bringing the legislation, Crago said input and a draft proposal from the county assessors was what pushed him to finalize the bill. End quote. So really, the way this whole thing went down is that the Department of Revenue and the lobbyist organization, the County Assessors Association, worked together to come up with a draft bill and then sent it to Crago, which he filed in the legislature. So not only is the Department of Revenue coordinating with a lobbying organization, they're engaged in crafting the legislation as well. It's what's called good legislating, Crago said. We need to work with our partners in the executive branch. End quote. Yeah, the only problem is the executive branch is not the legislative branch, nor is it the executive branch's mission to use taxpayer money to write your bill for you, Barry. This whole situation is absolutely ridiculous, and it's potentially illegal. The Department of Revenue paid its staff to come up with this training presentation, then paid their deputy, Ken Guile, to deliver it, all under the auspices of crafting the legislation for Representative Crago. Ha! And you thought the first story in this morning's program was swampy. Brenda Hansen needs to publicly explain herself. The Department of Revenue needs to be brought before a legislative committee and asked very pointed questions how this whole thing went down, because the way it looks from here is they spent your money to engage in lobbying. The truth is, my friends, this is just the first in what is no doubt going to be a long series of very swampy behavior during the 2024 legislative session. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the program. You can do that from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. But for now, from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.